Welcome to season two of Convos and Cocktails, where we talk, you listen, and we all get to drink. I'm your host, Lesofa Tlhabi, and with me today is our resident sex coach. She's back for season two. She had so much fun. She just had to come back. We had so much fun. Dee, how are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be back.
Thank you for making the time.
It's exciting.
Yeah, here we are, season two, on camera this time. Oh, so wow. Yeah. We get to do a bit of a show and tell.
Yeah.
Tell us what your cocktail is and why you've chosen this one.
I'm having an old fashioned. This is my absolute favorite cocktail. I like whiskey. You know, so it's a little bit of bitterness, a little bit of a hint of sweetness. So I think it represents who I am.
Okay. So cheers. Let's have a toast to that. Welcome. Cheers. Welcome. All right. Let's see. Hey, whiskey. Oh my goodness. I didn't expect
that. Strong as well.
Strong. You drink like an uncle, like you say.
I do.
It's going to be a mega drink.
It's been a long day. De-stress.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And the traffic and the load. Go on, get. Okay. So we're going to talk about sex, as you know.
Yes.
This is our place to do it. There is a window. We're going to show and tell the dildos to all the people walking past.
Yeah.
Very excited. I don't know if you want to do questions first, and then let's get through that, and then the show and tell.
I think let's start with the show and tell. Let's do questions first.
Okay. Yeah. So I've got some questions from our people. Clearly, they didn't really watch season one that carefully, because there are a lot of recurring questions, but I don't think it's ever too much to talk about the female orgasm.
No. I mean, I think also a lot of time has passed since then. So I think it's like a refresher.
Yeah.
But there's never like, you know, a lot of... There's never...
Don't worry, babes. We got this. It is.
You can never talk about sex enough, you know. So recurring conversations, constant conversations, reiterating and affirming positive conversations is important. So
wow. All those words. Yeah. Love. I just want to speak a little bit about, before we get to the viewer questions, the orgasm gap. You discuss it a lot on your Instagram page. And if you're not following her, it is Dee Hotne.
Yes.
On Instagram. There's a lot of underscores, but I will post her and tag her along with this episode. Do go follow her. There's advice, there's memes, there's funny stories, there's TikToks. It's a whole learning experience, but it's also fun.
Mm.
I love the way you just make sex not the scary thing, especially
not
for people.
Serious.
Who, yeah.
Yeah, because every time we talk about sex, people are like, oh, it's so serious, you know, and it has to be done in the bedroom. So I think bringing it in our everyday life in a light, fun way, funny way.
Yeah.
These are conversations we're having anyway in private with our friends. So I thought it's a nice way to just kind of like bring it in without making people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. All right. So the orgasm gap, babes. What is going on? Why are women not like, just break it down for us. What is it? The men? Is it us? Is it like, where is the gap?
It's,
especially heterosexual. I'm not talking in all other relationships, but just cis man, cis woman. We're not coming.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I mean, it's everything. And mostly, it's also from a woman's perspective, it's women not understanding their own bodies, how they work. And that's why I encourage masturbation. You know, I have masturbation Mondays and I'm like, just touch yourself, just figure out how your body works. And then you'll figure out, you know, if I touch you, what happens? How do I actually get an orgasm? Women don't even know what an orgasm feels like. So that's that. And then from a guy's perspective, well, you know, guys have sex for them, mostly.
Wow, so, how boring, but yes.
So it's a matter of I'm coming in, I'm going in, and I'm getting out. If I'm ejaculated or I've had an orgasm, I'm done. And sex normally ends when the guy comes.
Yeah.
It's just what they know, what they've been taught. And really the female pleasure and orgasm is not prioritized. It's not taught. It's not spoken about. Even in novels, you know, it's always about the guy, what the guy is doing to make you feel a certain way, you know. So there is a huge orgasm gap and it's due to those number of factors. But
also people knew like how amazing it is to make someone have pleasure. For me, the best thing about sex, I mean, okay, let me not say it's the best, but top three is the act of pleasuring somebody else or seeing them enjoy the experience.
Yes. So a lot of people... some people, actually not a lot, find pleasure in, you know, watching their partner receive pleasure and knowing that, you know, she's enjoying or he's enjoying himself because of me. But also, again, not a lot of people have sex for that reason. So that's why I teach what I teach. It's like, okay, cool, let's, you know, remove the end goal, remove the orgasm. Let's just enjoy each other and enjoy the journey. And let's have sex to experience and give each other pleasure. And our bodies will just then respond to that in the form of orgasms.
So I'm going to get there because that's actually a very important thing for me. But just for somebody who is looking at you, Masturbation Mondays, they want to take part, but they genuinely don't know how to do it. They don't have a toy because we will get to toys. This episode is so fun. She brought a couple of toys for us to explore. But for someone who's like, okay,
Where do I start?
Yeah. What happens? What advice would you give?
Okay, so holistically, I just always, you know, put masturbation and encourage people to look at it as, you know, spending time with yourself, giving love to yourself, or making love to yourself. So if you look at it that way, it's not that intimidating, as in like masturbation. Okay, masturbation, what does that mean? So instead of just jumping right in and just like touching yourself, because you sometimes don't know what to do, there's other things that you can do to prepare yourself, to get yourself in the mood. So as much as you want to be romanced by your partner, do that for yourself, you know? So
like light a candle,
take a bath, just to get you relaxed. So once you relax, your body just relaxes as well. Wear the lingerie, because we buy lingerie, we wear it, and it's on the floor in 2 seconds.
And it's usually to people who don't even give a fuck.
Exactly.
So many times people are like, it's going to end up on the floor anyway. I'm like, dog, look at me. Okay.
Yeah. So normally, you know, it's like two seconds, 2 minutes, and it's off.
Yeah.
So wear it for yourself. You know, stand in the mirror and just appreciate your body. Another thing that we struggle with as women is, you know, body dysmorphia, you know. So we go in to you know, this hysteria or pressure, put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We think sexy looks a certain way, but that's you only have one body. Appreciate it, love it, you know. So get yourself ready, put lotion on your body slowly, appreciating and touching every part of your body, so that by the time you touch your genitalia, it feels natural, you know. And another tip is, before you also then touch yourself, you know, I think just before you even get to the session of masturbating, get to know your vagina and your vulva, what it looks like. A lot of women don't know what's happening down there.
There's
get
a
mirror.
Of shame associated with that. I think even the way the language is, the way people talk about it, the smell, the look, the labia being different. It's just, there's a lot of stigma and shame that women take on.
Yes. So I want to affirm that all vulvas look different. Mm-hmm. They don't look the same. They come in different shapes, sizes, different shades of pink, of dark, of whatever. You know, what you have is what you have. So you need to appreciate it and work with it. So take a mirror, look at what's happening down there. Locate the clitoris. Some women don't even know where the clitoris is.
I actually read something. I think you posted it today, where people were debunking that there actually is a clitoris. Was it you?
Yes.
Oh, my God, I wanted to cry. I was like, no, I can't believe people really think this thing is a myth just because they can't find it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So once you then understand your vulva and what it looks like, you can then, you know, proceed to touching. And touching, I mean, like trying different pressures, movements up and down, side to side, just to feel what feels good. I mean, there's no prescribed way of doing it. It just depends on what is feeling good when you're touching yourself. So your hands can, your hands and fingers can, you know, help you get there. But some people just simply squeeze their legs together, and that puts a pressure on the clitoris.
Okay, I was just doing it now. Just to feel. It works.
You squeeze, it squeezes the clitoris together, and there is there feels like a little pressure, and it is a little pleasurable. Some people dry hump a pillow. You know, anything that you can use, whether it's material, silk, a tie, hands, just different textures, and just you exploring your body and what feels good. But obviously in a safe way. You don't necessarily need a toy, because obviously, you know, toys can also be intimidating to people who haven't used them before. So I think you start there, and just also just understanding what pleasure is for you. I always say, I'm not going to talk about orgasms as just like pleasure on its own, but once you live life in the way of appreciating and enjoying pleasure, just being mindful, being in the moment and being in your body,
yeah,
is pleasurable. The way you eat, when we sip our drinks, you know, you just like take a moment like, oh, this tastes good. That's pleasure. So when you get to the bedroom or when you masturbate, that already translates to that because you already understand, okay, what is pleasure for me? So it's unpacking. Masturbation Monday is about unpacking what pleasure is, what it looks like. And it doesn't look the same for everyone.
This is true.
Yeah.
So now you were speaking about, and I think you've also posted this, and I really religiously follow your Instagram posts. I learn so much. But about the fact that people shouldn't also be having sex to chase the final goal,
yes,
the orgasm.
Yes.
And I think the other thing of people putting so much pressure on that explosion or that cum or that orgasm is what makes and detracts away from sex.
It does.
So what do you think people should be focusing on when either alone or with a partner to make sex a more pleasurable experience and to stop putting so much pressure on the orgasm?
Yeah. Connecting with your body, connecting with another person, connecting with your partner. That's it. You're literally connecting physically because sometimes orgasm doesn't happen. Sometimes a penis doesn't erect, then what?
Yeah.
You know? But for some people, that translates to our sex life is terrible. Sometimes for other people, it's cuddling and touching, and they get satisfaction just from connecting in that way. It will look different every day because every day you're in a different frame of mind, mood, in frame of space with your partner as well, or with yourself. So I think the focus should just be about connecting with your body. Because you also connect with your body, even though you're sharing it with someone else, but also connecting and sharing your body with your partner and making each other feel good.
Now, this is a perfect segue to some of the questions, because one of the questions actually focused when you said, you know, the penis doesn't always get erect or things don't always happen how you want them to. How do you describe sex other than penetration? Because somebody was saying for them, whether it's because you're not in a sort of a heterosexual situation, but even when you are, sometimes you want to have sex, there's oral, there's, what are the different types of sex that don't just include penetrative?
Yeah. So oral, you've mentioned oral, and it can be using your mouth to anus, mouth to genital, or mouth to any erogenous part of the body, using your hands and other parts of the body, masturbating each other off, mutual masturbation, or masturbating and watching each other. Sometimes it can just literally getting into kink, you know, just a situation where you're having, you set up a scenario where you're tying each other up, you're using food, using different kinds of fabric, massages, you know, that can translate as a form of connecting, as a form of sex. So sex is not just penetration, you know, sometimes just connecting and cuddling can be quite satisfying, you know. Some people do reach an orgasm through stimulated. I love masturbation so much.
Girl, welcome to the party. You came to the right place.
So sometimes, you know, you can get quite stimulated and satisfied from, you know, stimulating the nipples, you know. So once you get to know your erogenous zones and where you get off, like, you know, behind your knees, on your neck, some people on their backs, in between their thighs, you know, it's just stimulating and massaging and touching and connecting in that way. So it doesn't always have to be penetrative.
Yes. You know, actually this thing of the erogenous zones, because I never really think about the zones. I'm just like, I like it here and here and here, but I don't think of them as like, but on Friends, Monica's like trying to describe how to do it, and she lands on seven, and she's seven. She's literally giving herself an orgasm by describing this thing. Let's talk a little bit about kinks. You see, you're the perfect guest because you know the fuck you're talking about, and then the links are linking themselves without even me needing to do too much. I want to discuss kinks. I did have a topic on a Monday about kinks, and some of the things that came through for me were, I was expecting much wilder in some cases, and in some cases I was like,
what is this?
So let's just talk first and foremost, what is a kink?
Shoo, it's a broad definition, but a kink, by everyone's definition, is something that doesn't include just penetrative sex, right? So if you're into toys and butt plugs, that's kinky, right? Like, oh, okay, it's a bit too much. If you like bondage, that's extreme, because it's things that people don't do on a normal basis, well, everyday basis, rather. So kinks are like, you know, if you enjoy a little bit of pain in the form of spanking, dressing up, role playing, you know. So there's like quite a few things that you can get into.
Is there ever like a scale for you where you're like, ah, this is too late, like light to be kinky? Or is it, it's all...
For me personally... Or just
maybe for you personally, but just by definition, is it like this doesn't fall under kink? Because it's like, I mean, for some people, maybe they'll say I have a kissing kink, but it's like, no, you like kissing, it's not necessarily a kink. Or how does it work?
So obviously, for me personally, I don't think I've explored all my limits, and I think it's the same for everyone. I always say try something once, and try obviously push your limits and see what or how far you can get. But the nice thing about exploring kink that I love so much is the consenting part. It's very present. It's constant. It's consistent communication. You can't have it any other way, because you constantly need to check in on the other person. Are you okay? Are you still comfortable? Depending on the kind of kink that you get into, you need some safe words so you can opt out when
it, mine is stop. Stop it.
When it feels like it's getting too much and you're getting overwhelmed, and that's, you know, you only know once you're in that kind of setting. So those kind of things that you have in place, the safety checks that you have in place, are very important to say, okay, cool, I was enjoying this, but it's becoming a bit painful or uncomfortable or whatever, you know, comes up. So there's mild from spanking with your hand, and then spanking with you know, different stuff like wooden planks and leather whips, and some people go into like chains and whips, actual whips, shamboks.
See, it's too close to the cotton fields, and it's too close for me. People even have this thing. I think one of the things that came up was race play, and people were like, "Yeah, I'll be a slave." I was like, "Woo, not me, child. I will turn around and whip the fuck out of you back."
I mean, the ancestors. It's open to definition. And I guess some people can get into the slave situation, but as long as they have an understanding as to why they're doing it, if they understand that they're just playing, if they just understand that they're playing and not, you know, and it can go to extreme cases, like there's people who dress up as horses and go out and go run around like horses and
horses. Go fuck horses. I was like, no. That's
a crime. No, not bestiality. To needle play. Interestingly enough, you're speaking about kink. I went to some show, I can't mention where, because it was a private show. And I watched a display and a performance of kink. It was a BDSM display between a couple, and they were using wax, like candle wax, and a knife, a sharp knife. So the gentleman would put the wax all over her body everywhere, and then he'd come scrape it off with a sharp knife. So
there was a bit of blood drawn, or
no?
Okay, just the pain.
I mean, from the outside looking in, it looks intense because it's a knife. But I mean, they were comfortable and they were constantly communicating and talking. But there's a huge trust element to it. So there's a huge safety to it as well, you know, limits and stuff. So he literally scraped it even on the vulva without hurting her. But I thought maybe they've been doing this for so long, since they're just now comfortable. There's things like needle play. There's things like...
what is needle play, before we just swiftly move along?
Literally needles into the skin, and the person, or the person receiving it enjoys the pain of the needles. I've seen also, from a humiliation point of view, because people get into those kind of settings where I want to be humiliated. Yeah. The guy's smoking, the lady's on the ground, and he ashes into his mouth, into her mouth. And for some reason, she enjoys that. Yeah. So there's a lot of reasons why people get into kink as well. Some people are leaders and bosses in their daily lives, and it's a space for them to just kind of let go and not make decisions. For some people, it's a place and a space to explore and enjoy and just get into fantasy outside of the reality of life.
Yeah. Okay, so how do you discover that something is a kink and not just like a weird thing? Because like, you know, not to put my business out there, but if you go on some websites, suddenly the rise of this like stepbrother, stepsister thing, to me, it's weird. But I understand that kinks are kinks and whatever. So how do people differentiate between something that's a kink and something that's just like side eye? Should not be doing this.
First of all, that category is weird.
It's so weird, right? I'm not getting into it at all. My God. But anyway, it exists.
Yeah, we actually don't know if it happens in real life, but it could be. And maybe that category is influencing people to think that way or be that way inclined. So I think just those kind of settings and, you know, settings where I heard something called consensual, non-consensual.
Okay.
But I'm just like, that sounds like rape.
But you see, so now I understand. I understand this category. This is my category.
I get it as well. But like,
because it's consensual.
Yes.
But it's a lot of the elements of not,
it's like,
but
okay,
it's consensual.
I agree for you to do anything and whatever you want.
In the safe space between me and you, because I know you.
But it's kind of tricky because, like, you know, when you say consensual, non-consensual, like, there's nothing, there's no such thing as non-consensual.
I mean, for sure.
You know? Yeah. So for me, I was just like, I get it, but it's a little bit
tricky
for people. So I think, I don't think anything is weird as long as it's comfortable for you. But I think I draw the line with like the siblings and, you know, sleeping with animals
So is there a community? Because now you said you went to go watch the show and obviously you don't put them on blast like shop. Yeah. But how do people in South Africa maybe get to explore kinks, especially if you don't have a partner? Are there communities? Are there spaces where people can go and just say, look, this is what I'm into. I want to go explore this.
They are, but they're under hush hush. There were huge and a lot of communities in and around Cape Town. But I've got to learn that space is kind of risky and dangerous. It becomes dangerous for the participants because there's people who target these places, to kind of like, you know, abuse the people who go there. And a lot of people who go there are mostly from the queer communities. There are, swingers communities, but no one talks about them because they're trying to protect everyone who's on there. So you have to kind of like be introduced to the space by someone you know. And I'll have you know, everyone is requesting for me to kind of like create these spaces.
I even got requests and I was like, this is not even near my business. But I spoke about it one time and then people were like, create it or tell us where. And I was like, I don't know either of those things.
And I refrain from telling, I know some of them, but I refrain from telling them because I don't know what happens there. So I don't want to send people and then something it's not wrong, like a kosher or a nice place or whatever. And then something goes wrong. Because I mean, I don't go there. So I am working on something around those lines. And again, it will be obviously protected and private and on a need to know basis.
So will your thing be people can just kind of apply and you vet the fuck out of them and you're like, yes or no?
It's necessary. It's very necessary. Because there's a lot of, you need to make sure that people are also psychologically fit to, like, why do you want to do this as a person or as a partner or as a partner? Why do you want to go into like swinging or threesomes or whatever? And also the STD sexual health factor is important. So I think creating a safe space, if I can then take away that responsibility for everyone, I think it would be a quite enjoyable environment.
Okay, guys, send your applications through. You might not get in, but send them through. Right, we've got some more questions. This question comes up every time I open up my DMs to a bit of a sexual vibe. I need it to end. I need the women to have their answer. once and for all. And again, it means you didn't really watch season one, but it's fine. Or listen to season one. Girl, are all women capable of squirting? Is this the thing that we've picked up from porn? Is it a real thing? Is it for everyone? What is going on with the squirting thing?
Sure, the squirting thing.
Because this question, literally, if I could show you how many girls are like squirting, so squirt.
And I understand the fascination because, I mean, once you watch porn, it's just like, oh, wow, what is that? You know, not everybody, and I say body as in like the physical mm-hmm. body, can squirt, because squirting is the reaction your body gives you from the stimulation you're getting. So for some people, it happens. Just it's like an easier, quicker response to the stimulation they're getting on their genital area. For some people, whatever stimulation they're getting is good. It feels good, but it doesn't result to squirting. It does not mean anything's wrong with you. And also, it doesn't mean when you squirt, you are having an orgasm. Mm-hmm. You might be lucky. Okay. Yeah. You might be lucky it happens simultaneously. You orgasm and have, and squirt, mm-hmm. but it doesn't automatically mean you are squirting. And for gents, because this is like some.
It's the fantasy.
It's like a fantasy. Like,
so much.
I need to make sure that I can make you squirt.
Yeah,
and then it means something for me. Yeah. Like, you know, it does not mean you're failing or you failed. If you can't get your woman to squirt.
Does it also mean that you're having a stronger orgasm if you're squirting? You know, like on a scale of orgasms, if you will. Does the result of squirting whilst you're orgasming, does that mean it's stronger? Or does, you know, how does that work?
Not necessarily. Strong orgasms result from a strong pelvic floor. Mm. So if you have a strong pelvic floor,
as I start my Kegels now. And one, and two.
And yes, every time I say a pelvic, I was like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to Kegel. So how intense your orgasm is or feels depends on how strong your pelvic floor muscle is. So it's not like it's automatic. Okay. When you squirt, it means, you know. And again, sometimes you'll squirt. It doesn't come gushing out like in the porn videos. Sometimes there's a puddle of water, and you're just like, okay, what happened? You squirted.
Yeah. That one. You may want to listen until the end because the drink and the story gets juicier right after the middle. Is there a way, because it seems like people really want this thing to happen, is there a way that you can design it that it could possibly be closer to happening? Because yes, not everybody's going to, even with the right kind of perfect stimulation. But are there things that people can do to try at least get closer?
Sure. So the trick is about stimulating the G-spot. Mm-hmm. And you find the G-spot on the inside of the vagina. Mm-hmm. It's about 2 to 3 inches at the roof. The mm-hmm. area feels like the top of your mouth. It's a bit rigid. Yeah. So if you insert your finger inside your vagina, mm-hmm. Use the middle finger because it's the longest. And then
nails. Oh, shit.
If you have nails, you can put a condom on it just to protect yourself because you don't want to tear the skin inside. So you can then press on that area. The texture feels different from the rest of the vagina. So if you press on that area and you stimulate that area, it feels like you're pressing against the bladder. So that's how you'll know that you found the right spot. Mm-hmm. So to be able to, you know, see if you can or get, have a squirt or not, if you press that area, varying different motions, mm-hmm. And also stimulate the clitoris at the same time, you can
potentially have to be Spider-Man, or they have to have toys. Like, yes. How do we eight? Because it's the hands on the side and so the clit. And
if you do it yourself, I'd say get a dual vibrator.
Okay,
I'll show you what it looks like later.
Yes, you will.
And that means it's a vibrator that stimulates the G spot inside and the clitoris at the same time. So what you're essentially doing in that motion is stimulating the entire clit, because a clit is not just the tip that you see when you're looking at the vulva. It goes all the way down and covers the opening of the vagina. So when you're stimulating the G-spot inside, you're actually stimulating the clitoris from the inside. And you're also stimulating on the tip on the outside from the outside. So it's like double stimulation of the clitoris. And that can get you to a point of, you know, being able to squirt. I think we've spoken about this. I'm not sure. I don't remember. But there's a tradition in Africa called Kunyaza. We have spoken about it. So that
Can you speak about it again?
So that is basically a tradition where they teach men how to make a woman squirt.
Because indeed, I need you to open this academy in South Africa then. I need you to focus less on this, you know, this clubhouse of orgies. This clubhouse of teaching men how to pleasure women.
I mean, if they're open to it, we can do it. There's no reason why we can't do it.
Actually, please, can you just tell me if you would love a place where you can learn how to stimulate yourselves, men?
Yeah.
I mean, women.
Yeah. So Kunyaza basically is stimulating when you look at the opening of the vagina at the top area, there's a top part there where it's the most sensitive. Actually, the whole opening of the vagina is the most sensitive part. So Kunyaza is basically an erect penis. So the man uses his penis and literally massages on that, the opening all the way up to the clitoris. Until you squirt. And he does not stop until you squirt. So that's the tradition. Once he's complete and he's done that, then the normal penetrative sex happens. That's how you can kind of try to see if your body will react in a squirting, you know, manner or not. And another question, just to wrap up the squirt conversation.
Wrap up the squirt.
The question I always get is it pee? Mm-hmm. Is it not?
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. Interview yourself, indeed. Take my job annuals. Is it actually? That's a great question.
So it's not. It's the reason why there's such a debate about it is because the fluid comes from a gland in the bladder. Mm-hmm. So the squirt comes out of your urethra. And that's why if you watch porn, when it happens, the woman looks like they're pushing out, like as you would pee. But a little pee can come out if your bladder was not cleared, if you were having sex or you were trying to make yourself orgasm and you had a little bit of pee in the bladder. So some pee can come up with the squirt fluid, but generally it is not squirt. And some men some men have confirmed that it's not because they've tasted it. And apparently it's the fountain of youth.
Okay. If you want to stay young, drink some cum. So let's get a little bit into the questions. I just want to ask like two or three because actually somehow we've come to almost halfway. This is a 29-year-old sexually active adult, mm-hmm. and they've never orgasmed during sex.
Okay.
Do you have some kind of advice as to how, I guess, they can reach that? I'm not sure if they're asking for advice because the question kind of ended there.
Okay.
But just they've never orgasmed. Maybe do you have any kind of advice?
There's the gap right there, mm-hmm. right? So obviously, generally, if you get that kind of question, my go-to is, have you orgasmed? You know, have you given yourself an orgasm, mm-hmm. first of all? Do you know what it feels like? You know, because I think we also throw around this word orgasm, mm-hmm. and some people are like, yeah, I have, you know. But if you talk to women, you'd find that some have never, ever orgasmed, ever, and they've been having sex and they're in their 30s going into their 40s. So, you know, try and masturbate and see if you can orgasm. Because sometimes it's literally because when you have penetrative sex, you're not aroused. Mm. And that happens a lot. That's like a whole different topic on its own.
And again, I mean, you know, even the thought of like wet doesn't necessarily mean turned on.
Yes.
Sometimes it's just a bodily reaction.
And it shocks me. And every time I tell them, I'm like, wet doesn't mean, hey, we're going. The vagina stays wet all the time. You know, it's moist all the time. So sometimes you have penetrative sex and you're not aroused. So obviously nothing's going to happen. The guy's going to finish and you're not aroused. All you're doing is just like, okay. And that's why there's a lot of faking that happens.
It's like louder.
You know, so I'd say masturbate, you know, to figure out if there is a problem or not. Because sometimes there is a problem. There's female sexual dysfunctions as well that we don't talk about a lot as well. But I think a lot of people don't know about them because also we don't orgasm, so how are we going to know if there is a problem or not? So without even focusing on the, you know, the serious reasons why someone is not orgasming, I think that's the first place to start. Get yourself a toy, small one, doesn't have to be a dildo, doesn't have to be a penetrative toy. I always advise get a clitoral stimulator and then go see what happens.
Baby, segue again. Might as well bring them out now. Since you said get yourself a toy, let's see some of these toys.
Okay.
What are we going for us today? I want you to talk us through how you use them, what they are. And I mean, if you can give a rating, I don't know if you've used all of them, but if you can give a kind of an orgasmic rating, like this one will send you to the moon. This one will,
I don't know if it's fortunate or fortunate, but I have used all of them because
of course,
I have to, you know test them out and also obviously know what I'm talking about.
What a job. Listen, if anyone wants me to test anything, let me know. I'll do it.
Okay, so where do I start? Okay,
cool. Let's start at the don't bring out the first round.
No, let me see what's in here
in your magic bag of tricks, guys. I need a bag of dildos. That would be so great. Just like traveling with my vanity of like vibrators and dildos. What?
Okay, I'll start here because we were talking about the clitoral stimulator. Mm-hmm. This is actually the current fave in the market.
Okay.
The most talked about.
It's the rabbit.
No.
Oh, it's the rose. That's my girl. Oh my gosh, guys.
It is the rose.
It'll kill you. It'll kill you if you're not prepared.
So not intimidating. It's cute. And this nifty little rose with, you know, it's amazing. Firstly, because you can use it anyway, it's waterproof as well, so you can shower in the bathtub, and it feels good. And firstly, I think before we even get into the toys, it's important to buy toys that are of good quality, because they're going to be inserted, they're going into your lovely body. So you want to insert things that are good quality and stuff. So I think sticking to silicone and avoiding plastic material, because they leave residue inside
and
your
body.
And
don't be afraid to spend, guys. Yes. For this one thing,
it's an investment. It's an investment. It will last your hopefully a lifetime. So this is a rose, and it has
It has the hole at the top.
Yeah, there's a hole at the top. And I wish we had a glass of water so I can demonstrate how it works. But basically, I'll switch it on now. So it's
got vibrating sound. I'm also acting like I don't have this. I'm like, oh, so it's got, what is that? Ooh,
it's fine. So it's
but for the listeners
for
and
the
watchers.
Listeners and the watchers, it's got about 10 speeds and rhythms. And obviously, depends on what mood you're in. But basically, if you put it on your clitoris, it feels like there's like a vibration or a suction on the clitoris.
Oh, yeah.
And this is amazing because it is quick, straight to the point. And a lot of my friends that have it are like, ah, Rose, just waste my time. Because sometimes you want to extend your masturbation period or using it with your partner, but it's just straight to the point. It's amazing. It feels good. People have squirted with this.
They have. They are here with us today. They have.
Yeah, in this room today.
They are here amongst us.
So this is amazing. A lot of men are buying this for their partners. Which is great, because I think they've kind of like, okay, it's not shaped like a penis, so I can use it. So partners are using it together. And then I have a dildo.
Okay.
And this is essentially, I like to say, use a dildo to learn how to ride a penis.
Okay. Matong. I didn't expect that size. Yeah, you caught me off guard. All right.
Okay. So, but this is an average erect penis size. No, it just looks big because the balls look big.
Also because of the color. It's I don't explore.
Yeah. So I've got quite a small hand and my hand can go around it. So this has a suction.
It's a window for me. I'm so sorry to the people, but like you must learn.
So it has a suction, which is great. And you can place it anywhere on the shower tiles, on the floor, in the bathtub. And literally why I say it's a great rider, because literally you can practice riding or being on top. Because that's also a bit of a challenge for a lot of women.
Yeah, no. 2 seconds on top, just, all right, get to it.
Yeah, personally, I don't like dildos. They don't do anything for me. But there's a lot of people who enjoy them, you know. Other people can use them as strap-ons if you're into pegging or if you're in a lesbian relationship setting. So different uses as well. Yeah. And then we have, I've got a G-spot vibrator.
Actually, sorry, before you ask this question, I mean, speak about this toy, I actually want to ask you a question based off what you just said.
Yes.
So another question was, how the hell do you reach an orgasm through penetration? If people are not using their fingers to do the come hither thing, how can they?
Unfortunately, because the penises are shaped in different sizes and sizes and shapes, and others are facing down, others are facing up. You're lucky if a penis actually touches the G spot. So you get an orgasm if remember the G spot we spoke about, the inch at the top of the vagina. If a penis can reach that area, during penetration, then you have a better chance of, because it's stimulating the clitoris from the inside.
Okay.
But another way is to do penetrative sex, but also stimulate the clitoris on the outside. Yeah, at the same time. I know it's a bit of a multitask, but like work together.
I mean, you also have your own hands, girl.
Exactly.
You know, get to work.
Yeah, if he's penetrating, use your hands.
Or the toy.
Or the toy. You know, you've got options.
Exactly. Yeah. All right. What is the next toy?
So these two.
So this is what you were talking about with the double.
The double, the double, the dual stimulator. So this one, these two specifically are called G-spot vibrators. If you look at them, so their heads are shaped and they're facing up. They curve towards the top.
Okay. So you put in this way.
Yeah. So when you penetrate it, it literally sits on the G spot and it stimulates that area. So you can press that one. I think just press and hold.
It's vibrating.
It's vibrating. Yeah, it is. So, sorry,
so they both vibrate separately. You can press one for the other and one for the other.
Yeah. Okay. So dual stimulation, you've got a penetrative part inside the vagina and then the other part sits directly on the clitoris. So this is great because...
This is just going past the clitoris now.
Just press and hold.
Okay.
This is great because you have a better chance of also reaching an orgasm.
I'm going to add this.
From that. But it's also important to use lube when you use toys, but use the right kind of lube if your toys are silicone. So you can't use silicone lube because silicone and silicone, it will destroy your toy. So water-based lube. Like if you don't know what lube to buy, just go water-based.
Water-based.
Yeah.
All right. Water-based lube. What's next?
Next.
This is like my favorite bag of tricks, please.
What's
I think let's do two more toys. So maybe if you have ones that are kind of different.
Okay, cool. I've got one that you can use with your partner. Ooh,
that's a great one.
Yes. And then let me take another one out. Actually,
do we have like vibrating panties in this country? We do, ne?
We do. We do. I've only seen them on the online shops. I'm sure they are in the physical sex shops. Okay, so I've got two toys that you can use with your partner. And literally this one that I have here.
It so has are these controlled by them? Is that what the...
Well, it depends. I mean, anyone can hold the remote. Okay. Well, Okay, let me explain. So the one I'm holding now, it has a string attached to the remote. Mm-hmm. So it's a bullet.
So you can't go too far.
No, you can't go too far. So this one you use literally when you are close and near each other or when during penetration. So this bullet can sit on the balls or it can sit on the clitoris. I've found that men get surprised that they actually do enjoy vibrations because they always think, oh no, like it feels weird or whatnot. So this is cool because then, you know, it's like a little teaser in between. So this you can use together. And then this one is for playing when you're out.
Favorite kind of thing in the world.
Yeah. So the newer versions are using them via app. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like the older model. Yeah. Old school models where you can use with the remote. Mm-hmm. So you can be 20 meters apart. So in a house, in a club. So you literally put on
my best memories.
It comes in two parts. The one part is like it's shaped like a panty liner. Mm-hmm. So it hugs your underwear and you put it on. So you just make sure that the light is flashing, but it won't flash through your
clothes.
Through your clothes.
Don't wear sheer clothing with this thing.
Yes. And then you give your partner the remote. And literally, this is amazing because it's your little secret. No one knows about it.
And have someone you trust, not someone who's going to fuck around with you and put it at like 10 when you're presenting.
Because it doesn't stop unless he stops
it. Exactly. When you're presenting to the UN, like, come on.
Why would you even wear it?
You know what, girl? It's also better to wear it a bit riskier. If you're wearing it to like a kinky party it has to be a bit of a risk factor.
That's true. I encourage it. It's fun. Yeah. You know, your partner can just press it without you knowing that it's coming. Mm-hmm. So it's anticipating. And I've used it with my partner and he'll press it. And literally when it's vibrating, I'll try to find him so we can lock eyes. But sometimes he hides. And then he looks at me from a distance and runs. So it's like fun, you know? Yeah. So these are some of the toys that you can use. I mean, there's so many different options that you have from like whips, even if it's not like toys per se. Whips, there's like gloves that you can use that are textured. You can use soy candles to massage each other. If you don't have like all the other apparatus and you want to get into kink, you can use stuff in the house like a silk tie. You know, your gown, the robe tie thing, and you put it on and stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we have reached the end of this. Oh my gosh. I actually wish I had like 4 hours for this because there's so much.
There's never enough time.
In that bag. There's never enough time. There's so much more in that bag. But I do have one last question that I think kind of relates to all of this. Uh-huh. And this is also from a viewer. Now we call you guys viewers. With masturbating, using toys, is that not going to detract from the real life sort of partner to partner orgasm, penis, hands? Is using a vibrator, do you get used to it to the point that normal, regular stimulation
no
longer?
You don't want it anymore, no. Of course not. These are just gadgets. Mm. So when you have sex, it's not just about, you know, the penis penetrating you. It's about who you're with, how he touches you, how she touches you, how the person kisses you, the warmth, the body, you know, the scent. It's all the senses are in heightened. So, and they make the experience better. So these are the cherry on top. They're just like a little helpers along the way to just make the experience even better. But I personally have not met anyone, any woman, any men who said, no, I don't want to have sex with anyone anymore. I'll just use toys. Yeah. I mean, of course, you hear that from a lot of single women. They're just using these as pacifiers. But no.
I hope also that people get into relationships and don't stop exploring toys. I mean, I remember last season, we spoke a lot about how men feel threatened. Yeah. And it's bullshit. Yeah. Use the toys, whether you have someone or don't, or people or don't.
Yeah.
It's all part of the experience. It's all fun. Even when you're in the bedroom with them, but also when you're by yourself.
True.
Thank you so much, Ndi. I mean, you're definitely coming back for season 3, so whatever. We'll explore more of the toys. If we get a season 3, look at me being ultra positive.
I mean, speak it into existence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. when we come back for season three, we'll have you again. I'm so sorry we don't have enough time to explore them all, but thank you so much. I always think I know the most about sex, and I constantly learn from you, from your page, but also from today's chat. So once again, thank you so much for making the time. I hope you had as much fun as I did.
And it's always fun. Thank you for having
me. Where can people follow you just before we...
People can find me on Instagram, NDI_HOTNOT. NDI_HOTNE or search by my name, Ndile Kamhlawuli, and you can find me. All my details are there. Yeah, that's the quickest way to get
and can they ask you like questions, you know, or is it like you have to pay Emin and consulting?
Okay, so people do ask me questions, but it's on a general answering level, because some questions are personal, so I have to ask questions, so that becomes a session. So if you want like specific answers to your specific challenge or question, then I encourage you to book a session. Yeah, book a 30-minute session. Doesn't have to be long. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Cheers to your very strong drink. Oh my lord. And that is all from episode 2 of Convos and Cocktails season 2. It's been amazing. Thank you so much to Ndileka. Thank you to our hosts at Vodcast TV. And we will see you next time for episode 3. Season 3 Convos and Cocktails, produced by Lesego Tlhabi and WMG, and recorded at Vodcast TV Studios. Remember, this podcast is streamable on Spotify and other major streaming platforms.